Voyager were sent off to the world port. Their plans for global domination.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Lebanon, the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas is in its 10th day. Along a two-lane highway in northern Israel, a long line of tanks, troops, and other military vehicles have amassed. Israeli Defense Forces have also dropped leaflets which warn residents of southern Lebanon to leave their homes and move north. Israel's ambassador to Washington says that his country wants to remove Hezbollah's command and control centers and weapons stockpiles from southern Lebanon. The AP reports he said Israel has no desire to reoccupy the region. In northern Israel, Hezbollah militants are continuing to fire rockets into Israeli towns. One such rocket struck Haifa today and wounded 19. Lebanese authorities report that at least 261 people have been killed since the conflict began. At least 34 Israelis have died. In Washington, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with President Bush on Sunday to lay out U.S. plans for a diplomatic solution. They will meet with officials from Saudi Arabia to discuss their proposal. Afterwards, she will travel to the Mideast with details of the U.S. strategy. Following her trip there, on Tuesday, she will take part in an Italian-sponsored international peace conference in Rome. In Beirut, the evacuation of thousands of Americans continues. U.S. officials expect that a total of 8,000 Americans in Lebanon will be evacuated by ship to Cyprus or Turkey by this weekend. In Iraq today, two Shiite neighborhoods were attacked by gunmen who killed at least 18 people. Two worshippers were also killed at mosque today despite an extended daytime curfew. On Capitol Hill, a Senate committee will hold a hearing next week to confirm John Bolton, who's serving as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Last year, President Bush appointed him on an interim basis. In India, the first three arrests were made following last week's train bombings that killed 207 people. Since then, hundreds of people have been detained for questioning. In Afghanistan, NATO is expected to expand its mission to include the entire country. If member countries agree to the expansion, it is expected to happen by the end of the year. In Washington, a House committee is examining the sale of fighter jets to Pakistan following criticism that the deal could expose U.S. technology to China. And in Moscow, the defense minister announced they have reached a $1 billion deal to sell fighter jets and helicopters to Venezuela. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have business news coming up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Dell Computer warned that their second quarter earnings would be 30% less than forecast. Dell blames a slowdown in the computer market. Analysts say tough competition from HP and customer service complaints have hurt Dell recently. Microsoft announced strong demand for its new Windows operating system, Vista. Yesterday, the software company said it would buy back as much as $40 billion of its stock. Microsoft also warned that its PowerPoint software is vulnerable to a new computer virus. In Atlanta, shareholders of Bell South approved the proposed sale of their company for $67 billion in stock to AT&T. The deal would make the nation's largest telecommunications provider even larger. Caterpillar reports a jump in second quarter earnings. The construction equipment maker credits higher prices for $10 billion in sale, the highest in four decades. The FDA has approved a pearl-like pigment that drug companies can use for their prescription pills. It will be used because it makes it harder for counterfeit makers to copy. And Japan will reportedly agree next week to a partial resumption of American beef imports. Before the latest mad cow disease scare, Japan was the most lucrative overseas market for American beef. Light sweet crude settled at $74.52 a barrel today, and near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is down 60 points, the Nasdaq NASDAQ is down 19, the S&P 500 down 9. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's 6 minutes past the hour. We've made it to Friday. My least favorite day of the week. Grim, grim Friday. Because we all know Monday is my favorite day. I'm going to try to make a promise to you this evening. I am suffering, and I'm ashamed of myself for this. I'm suffering from Lebanon fatigue. Iraq and now this and it's Iran and I personally feel like it's exhausting, isn't it? It's exhausting. So there's a bunch of other news, and at the risk of getting rovinated by being just morbidly affixed to the slaughter going on there, I want to hit some other stories. Because there's a bunch of them out there, and we always run the risk when we focus too hard on one issue, no matter how grave or serious it is, we run the risk of being roved. Because that's what it's designed for. Now, I think, it's only appropriate that we note that today would have been the 62nd birthday of Paul Wellstone. I read that earlier in the day, and every time I hear Paul Wellstone's name, I get an almost Kennedy-esque lump in my gut. Lord, what we have missed in not having Paul Wellstone in the Senate. All this silly, the flag burning, the prayer, the gay marriage. If only the Democratic Party had a Wellstone still. And the inspiring thing, Paul Wellstone himself would have told us that there are plenty of him around. The question is finding them. The question is supporting them. The question is empowering them to go and do good and do the right thing. He is not forgotten, nor is he gone beyond our memory. But Lord God, we will see his like again. When worst we need him, and apparently, you know, it's not bad enough yet, but when worst we need him, a real Wellstone, another Wellstone, will rise up. But Paul Wellstone would have been 62 years old today. And so we remember him. Beyond that, I'd like to come back, and I'd like your thoughts. I'd like to come back to the stem cell thingy. Oh boy, it must be Friday. I'm fresh out of vocabulary. I'm down to using those bush words. That's a thingy. Now, I'd like to come back to the stem cell debate, and with particular focus on the snowflake babies. Because I think we may have missed something. I know I missed it. Yep. You're probably 6 miles ahead of the curve, but I missed it. Because my first inclination on seeing that signing ceremony there with all those little snowflake babies was to say, well, those are indeed some snowflake babies. They're white, like snowflakes are white. Every last one of them, just white, 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 white. And then sit there and marvel at the brazen racism of the Bush administration doing a vetoing ceremony with a bunch of white babies around them and not one single Asian, African-American, Native American, Middle Eastern. Nope. White, 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 white. Lily white. But upon reflection, a couple of things come to mind. One of the things that comes to mind is that these snowflake mommies and daddies show a profound, it is racism. Because you know what? Now, I've had occasion in my past life, I've had occasion to sort of intersect or interact with things like the foster care system. And I can tell you that there are 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds that are in the foster care system in this nation right now, and they will never get out. Because, you see, mommies and daddies want brand new babies. They're not interested in the postborn so often. It's tragic. Can you imagine? Well, some of you can because some of you grew up this way, not having anyone to call mama or daddy. What a heartbreak. So instead of reaching out to children, living children who really, really needed a mommy and a daddy, these Bushevics, because you must understand those snowflake parents would not have been there had they not been hardcore Bush supporters. Instead of reaching out to children desperately in need, they went the snowflake route. Stop and just sort of let that wiggle around for a little bit, because that's not the end of it. Because, again, yeah, all those snowflake babies were white, 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 or pink, 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 or variations on something between pink and white. And you gotta wonder how statistically. Now, I'm no mathematician, never claimed to be. I always give a disclaimer that I am not. But one would think that statistically, somewhere in the pool of snowflake babies, back up. One would think that statistically, somewhere in the pool of available embryos. No, back up again. Somewhere in the pool of infertile couples in the United States, because that's the only way that you go out there and create and harvest these and fertilize these eggs to create these embryos. They're created in a petri dish. Eggs are harvested, sperm is, you know, and the birds and the bees happen in a glass-walled house. You're with me so far. Statistically speaking, there have to be African American or Asian or Hispanic embryos in the wider pool that is frozen embryos up for adoption. I mean, it has to be statistical fact. It is almost statistically and within the realm. It's impossible that there wouldn't be. Now, go back So we know that there are probably Asian, Hispanic, African-American embryos in cold storage. So that means that statistically some of those would be donated for
snowflake adoption,
right? So that those two levels of statistic probability exist. Now go back and look at the little Aryan snowflake babies. Have a look. I looked through every photograph I could find of that signing ceremony. I looked through every photograph that I could find. Not one. I mean, we're not even talking about tan snowflake babies. Well, no, there were boys and girls, that's right, because I looked at that too. Because we're dealing with right-wingers, and they're very patrilineal, and you would expect them to, but no, there were girls. There was one little girl who appeared to be giving the middle finger to George Bush, standing right behind him. But back up, because I'm struggling with this because I don't have the mathematics to work it out. If in the general population it is statistically impossible that there would not be some embryos from other racial groups, then it goes without saying, or with saying, that there would be, that those embryos would also be represented in the frozen population. So therefore, they would also statistically have to be represented within the snowflake embryo population. Take the next step. Looking at the photographs from the signing ceremony, take the next step and realize, as it did with me, as the horror slowly dawns on you, exactly what's going on with these religious fanatics who are giving birth to unwanted embryos. Is the horror dawning yet? Here's a hint. You remember the original? I mean, I can always find a reason. Everything comes back to Star Trek. I'm trying to be gentle here and not go to another place that I really don't want to go to. The Star Trek episode in the original Star Trek that introduced Ricardo Montalban as Khan.
He tasks me, and I shall have him.
Khan and all of his fellow the superhumans were created in the eugenics experiments of the distant past, and they turned out to be really, really bad eggs, and they got put on a spaceship and put into cryogenic suspension and just shot out into space. Only to be run across by Jim Kirk in his never-ending search for a green woman to teach how to kiss. Kissing? What is this kissing, Jim Kirk? But you see where I'm going. This is eugenics. This is eugenics. This is the deliberate tinkering with human life to come up with a desired result. This should make your blood run cold. I'm not talking about test tube babies. You know, you have a test tube baby, you get what you get. It's like the little novelty thing at the on the way out of the grocery store that all the children flock to. Yeah, give me a quarter. You know, oh, I want the ring. I want the pocket knife. And, you know, instead you get the, you know, stupid tattoo. This is eugenics. these children had to have been. It is statistically impossible that they were not. They had to have been selected for their skin color. Because can you imagine sweet little right-wing mama going into labor, whiter than ivory soap, and giving birth to a little African-American baby? She would not have been welcomed back into her megachurch. There would have been horrifying rumors spread about her all over her good gospel town. You see what? And if they selected for skin color, what else did they select for? Eye color? Superior? Likelihood? Was there cancer in the donor family? Well, that embryo doesn't get to be part of the catcher of life. Do you see what's going on here? Doesn't it stand to reason that in the even though this population is low, doesn't it stand to reason that some things that are typical in the human birth population would be as typical in spina bifida?
Cleft palate?
Muscular dystrophy? You understand what these snowflake parents and this snowflake movement is now, don't you? It is purely and simply eugenics. It is an attempt to create a right-wing Christian master race. Where have we heard that phrase before? Master race. Now, I could be a smartass about this, and it would be funny. It would be terribly funny. I wish I was a web designer, because I would have KilimanjaroSnowflake.org already on the web. A specific snowflake experiment offering unwanted snowflake embryos from African-American parents to right-wing Republican members of Congress. Now, Rick Santorum, he's got his wife spitting out babies as quick as she can, or did. Maybe Rick Santorum and his wife, maybe he'd like to be there with a video camera videotape her giving birth to an African-American baby. No, I don't think so. Need a young one. Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. Maybe they could give refuge to a Kilimanjaro snowflake baby. No, guess not. But wouldn't it be great? It'd be some wonderful filmmaking. Do you remember from Fahrenheit 9/11 when Michael Moore was wandering around Washington D.C. with a camera crew, offering enlistment forms to Republican members of Congress so they could sign their own kids up to go and jump into George Bush's nasty little Iraqi meat grinder? They couldn't get away from Michael Moore fast enough. Let's say we go to Jeff Sessions. Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III. I kid you not, his middle name really is Beauregard.
That's who called in.
You see. Maybe we... No, no, no. How about Saxby Chambliss?
What?
Of Georgia. Maybe John, yeah, some of these codgers are too old. Maybe they've got kids that would like to provide a home to an African American or an Asian or a Hispanic snowflake baby. And like I said, that's a little bit tongue in cheek, because we all realize that the Republican Party is the Klan without the bed linens. But think about this. Understand that what you are understand that what we are dealing with in this snowflake program is nothing less than an attempt to genetically pre-select a perfect and acceptable master race for the mega churches.
Oh, Nazis.
Yeah, Nazis, Agnes. Nazis. Himmler? The questionnaire to get into the Waffen-SS was generations long, just trying to find out if you had anything other than perfect Aryan bloodlines. There was a time in this country when people would inspect another individual's fingernails, because the eugenics of that day said that if you had little half moon shaped discolorations at the back toward the cuticle, that meant that you had black blood. Oh, Lordy. Lordy, 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 welcome to the 21st century. We completely missed it. We almost missed it. It almost got past us. And it was one of the ugliest, most hateful visions of a racially pure America that has come down the pike in a long, long time. The Republicans are engaged in eugenics. Are you sick yet? Are you frightened? Are you? You know what I'm. Yeah. Yes, dear. Oh, okay. This is. It's sad. You know, because in it puts the lie to the whole happy load of horse crap that George Bush and Tony Snow put out there. Well, you know, we believe in a culture of life. How many? I mean, I'll get down there and play with them in this thing, in this ethical debate. I'll be glad to. How many African American embryos? How many Asian embryos? How many Hispanic embryos? How many Middle Eastern embryos were destroyed in the attempt to find that one good white one? Con. This is not a good, because, you know, what are these, 1-, 2-, 3-year-olds? And Sam Brown back on the floor of the Senate saying that little girls were writing him letters saying, "I'm so glad you didn't kill me." These are the children who may very well usher in the 22nd century as very old people. Very old members of a burgeoning master race that will find you and me and our children inferior. I have no problems with genetic research. I have no problems, frankly, with cloning. But when you bring the racist standpoint, the racist viewpoint of the Republican Party into it, and you start letting little megachurch families choose who lives and who dies, you want to talk about the horror of abortion. Yes, dear.
I have muscular dystrophy in my family. It's carried by the female. And I hope that my girls can someday have children that doesn't have the problems that my family's had.
No, but do you understand, dear?
But wait a minute. But I have never seen a baby. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they come from. I've never seen a child that I didn't love. I love kids. I would much rather adopt than to go and have to do something along this order. Because a child, it's not who parents the child. It's not who biologically creates the child.
But you understand adoption is a pricey proposition. Even through the foster care situation. But no, you see, you and I, dear, you and I subsidize the snowflake babies to the tune of millions of dollars a year for these megachurch weirdos so they can stand up and have a photo op with dear leader. Are the little hairs up on the back of your neck yet? Is that the feeling of ice water running through your veins? Because it's running through mine. So that's where we begin this evening. I'd be interested in your thoughts. Are you ready for that brave new world? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true: you'll be dead before your time.
Yes. Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so... it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't, ha 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
All right, let's go straight to the phones and not keep anybody on hold. Andy is calling from Wales, the United Kingdom. Andy, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Doing well. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. You're right not to get stuck on Lebanon. You're right. Absolutely.
I felt like my heart was broken by the end of the program last night, Andy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what more can we say about it anyway? You know?
Nothing.
Well, there we go. Let's move on. Paul Wellstone. I've got to admit, I never really knew much about Mr. Wellstone. What with him dying a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah. 2002.
You say he's Kennedy-esque, and that made me think. I mean, Kennedy was assassinated. Pretty much anybody's reasonable thinks that.
Well, Paul Wellstone's plane went down as a function of icing.
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I know a bit about, I looked at what happened, and I know a bit about aeronautics, I know the principles, and ice does build up on wings, but I'm under the impression he was in quite a small plane, and they don't go that high. And so in May,
you've got it, and of course, it's not proof, but it's the kind of thing that sort of makes your blood boil a little bit, Andy.
It was
a few months later after that weirdo Norm Coleman had gotten in to the slot that would have been filled by Wellstone's reelection. The college Republicans were having their annual meeting, and they said, well, we got rid of Wellstone. We had to kill him to do it, but we got rid of Wellstone. The college Republicans in their annual meeting.
Yeah, well, you know, that just confirms it for me. I didn't know that bit of information. I mean, you know, nothing a Republican, or, to be honest with you, anybody from your or my government says, I can believe at the moment. And it's not so much they're definitely lying. It's just that there's no reason for them not to. They've always done it in the past, and there's no reason for them to change their methods now. People say, why would they lie to us? Why wouldn't they?
Well, is there money to be had? Is there power to be taken?
Yeah, if there's money involved, pass. There you go.
Why wouldn't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I can't really talk from too much knowledge about Mr. Wellstone, so let's move on to something I have a bit more knowledge about.
Next!
Stem cells, mate.
Yeah.
Right, okay. On the light and slightly comic and haha, I get to put one over on the Americans side of my Englishness again. Well, it's fine by me if you ban them, because we make all the money from it. Because there's only one competitor to Europe. I mean, America's not really the biggest stem cell research element. I mean, you're big on biotech, but that element's been sort of neglected anyway.
Yeah.
There's only one real competitor to the UK, and that's South Korea. And we've stopped competing. We've started cooperating.
So, you know, business is going to be... The Italians are into it a little bit too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. There's like a sort of tripartite sort of thing going on with...
And then there's the Raelian cult.
Hmm?
And then there's the Raelian cult.
Oh, they're a bunch of nutters. There's no evidence that any babies have actually been born to them.
Little baby race car drivers. There's a threat to the United. I mean, from a U.S. standpoint, Andy, it is bad for us to abandon science.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But it's part of the play to the religion industry. And, of course, if they were really abandoning it, I mean, seriously, if they were really wanted to get away from stem cell research, then it would be illegal for the technology to be imported to the U.S., which it's not. and it would be illegal for U.S. citizens or companies to invest in Europe in foreign companies that progress with stem cell research. That's not going to happen.
So, and it's equally legal for American private companies to engage in this. That's part of the hypocrisy.
Well, that's it. It's simply, you know, a way of George Bush getting votes for the Republican Party for the next couple of elections. That's, we know it.
It is some well and truly nasty-ass pandering.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, what's new?
I know.
Yeah, so don't be surprised about it. I mean, you know, that shouldn't put your blood pressure up. Well, come on, man. You've had this 100 times already. You should be used to this by now.
I am, and, you know, no. I mean, I don't think I'm about to give birth to a bouncing baby snowflake aneurysm or anything. I hope not.
Well, on to the snowflakes. I agree. I'd like to point out something first. I mean, the whole, like, they're all very white. I agree that that shows some choice, and therefore... You would have thought if they were just saving fetuses or egg, like fertilized eggs, then you would have thought they'd just kind of, you know, get a batch of them and implant them all in a bunch of willing mothers.
Yeah, well, does this mean that does this mean that the embryos are labeled little white baby?
Well, you know, I mean, to be honest, the embryos will all be labeled. If you want to pick a particular color, I mean, you can't say this child will be blonde with blue eyes. We don't have that technology quite yet, although we're close in Britain. I don't know where you are in the States. But you can say this is definitely a white child, and you have some data on the parents. So given the genes, you can see, you can make predictions about eye color and things like that. But it's never going to be 100%. But you can say this child is whiter than white or not, yeah?
Yeah.
Statistically, the statistics are against ethnic minorities in the U.S. and America because generally only white people can afford to do it. So the odds of finding...
But we've got some...
Andy... some rich, but statistically, I mean, given the sort of broad sweep, and there's a few other factors, given the broad sweep of the population, more... It's unrepresentatively white. Yeah, you'd agree that?
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah.
But then you've got to look at where these people probably come from, which is probably the Bible Belt, which is even more unrepresentatively white. So if they went to clinics in their own areas, chances are there are no Asian or black babies there. But leave that aside. These people probably aren't engaging in eugenics, Bob. Now, the reason I say that is because they're silly, unfulfilled Christians who've been sold a bill of goods by their church. But they're not actively trying to create a master race. I'm sure one or two probably think it, but I don't think it's a general move. Now, it could well be soon. It's a dangerous move. But I don't think they're actively going for eugenics, because if they were, they'd have shown more care in hiding the fact that they were all white children.
I don't think they cared or thought about it because that's who they're pandering to, Andy.
Well, yeah, but they didn't think about it. But that's the point. The fact that they didn't think about it means that it's not really important. So they're not trying to hide anything there. It's horrible to have to do this to everything these people do, but I have to look at everything they don't do and everything they do and everything that they could have done.
There's a little bit of dot connecting going on here, too, at least
I
as far as...
I hate using that phrase, because that's the president's phrase, isn't it?
I know, and that's why I use it, because yeah. I want to show him how it's done.
Well, that's a good idea, actually.
Well, just one second, because you've got to back up.
Yeah.
You got to back up to William Bennett.
Right.
The guy, we were talking about him just last night, you know, sits naked in a high roller suite playing his own private one-armed bandit in Vegas to the tune of millions at a time.
Yeah, he's a bit of a freak, frankly, but then...
Well, yeah, and this is the guy who said on the public airwaves of the United States of America that if you really want to get rid of crime in the United States, you abort all the black babies.
Yeah. I've heard that quote played. I've heard the whole thing in context, and he was an idiot and shouldn't have said it. And it wasn't quite as badly as it came. It wasn't meant as badly as it came out. But I'm not going to make excuses for him, because he wouldn't have said it if those sort of thoughts weren't floating around in his head. Yeah.
So, what I'm trying to get at is, underneath the surface of all of this,
that would like to exterminate everyone that's not very, very white.
Yeah, it's very real.
You can find nutters like that who are Asian, who are African, and who are else, do you know what I mean? So don't get too fixated on that, because those people are just nuts. No, what I'm worried about is why the U.S. government is banning the funding by U.S. government dollars. And the only thing I can think of is because it doesn't want any cross-connection between the scientists that are working in secret to develop your super soldiers and the scientists that would be receiving the funding on a more open public level.
So in a way, you think there is already some pre-existing eugenics going on that maybe we don't know about?
Well, no, I mean, you have Area 51 and other areas where they do a lot of funky secret stuff. Now, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other areas that we simply don't know about. And I am perfectly convinced that the U.S. government is doing everything it can with gene testing and implants and cyborgs and all that sort of stuff to try and make better, cheaper soldiers. Because that's what they want, don't they? They want cheaper, more effective soldiers with their army. And now Rumsfeld's in charge. I'm sure it's been accelerated.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I have no proof of it, but it's not in this climate, Andy. It is not a crazy, wild supposition.
Yeah, well, that's it, and that's the problem we have, because we live now in a climate where nothing's a crazy supposition. I mean, I'm not convinced that the July the 7th attacks weren't carried out by our own security services, because they did exactly the right amount of terror and exactly the minimum amount of disruption to the money. And I don't think terrorists are that considerate.
No, or neither are they that smart. They're not that smart either most of the time.
Well, no, I mean
up until the Twin Towers went down, the most success they'd had was the Khobar Towers.
Well, don't talk about the Twin Towers and terrorist success.
I know. That's what I'm getting at. You know, the best they could do was take a rubber life raft full of dynamite and run it into a destroyer. That's not high tech.
No, and I mean, terrorism never has been, because that's why it works. It's a low-tech approach to warfare. And I love that phrase that the American military keep trying out. Oh, they're engaged in asymmetrical warfare. Yeah, well, what is it when you blow someone's house up with an F-16 and they've got an AK-47? Is that asymmetrical?
Well, what is it? Okay, see, we're doing it. What is it when you tell an entire community to evacuate their homes and their entire village, and then you drop bombs on them from 40,000 feet as they're in gridlock on the road?
Yeah, that's called profits of General Electric.
Well, those are GE engines in the jets.
Yeah.
Well, they probably build the bombs.
Yeah, they have subsidiaries that build the bombs. It'll be called something else, but there you go. But yeah, let's keep away from that. And I'm gonna let you get on soon, but I just wanted to talk about that half moon shaped in the nails thing.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it explains a lot. I must have black blood in me, because I've been told I can dance just like a black man by black people.
And you've got the fingernail thing going for you?
Huh?
And do you have the fingernail thing going for you?
I do, man. I do, yeah.
Well, it's all over then. I mean, dig him up and ask Strom Thurmond. Well, Jesse Helms is still alive. I'm sure he could confirm it.
It is quite incredible, isn't it? I'm going to have to now look into the white discoloration marks in the fingernails and see what the genetics behind it and stuff are, because I'm now interested.
I read it somewhere. There's a perfectly rational explanation for it somewhere. But, yeah, in the deep south of the United States, once upon a time, having that little half moon in the back of your fingernail, oh, well, you're tainted, buddy.
Hey, what do they do? Just give me them fingers there, boy.
Yeah. That's what they... Yeah, well, off to the block with you, boy. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But see, our history over here is chock-a-block full of that stuff.
We had it easy over here, because you could tell if somebody wasn't from round your way, because we've got, like, an accent every 5 miles that is quite incomprehensible to another one. You know what I mean?
Kentish, Cornish.
Oh, well, no, go to Cornwall and just wander between different towns, and all the different Cornish dialects are mutually indistinguishable. Don't try and talk to a farmer in any rural area of Britain, because you won't understand them.
Makes me want to come over and try.
But no, I have one final thing to impart to everybody.
All right.
And this is from, it's from a competitor, but they're really, really funny, and they're on in the mornings in America, so they're not really that much competition. Have you heard of the Stephanie Miller show?
Oh, I'm very familiar with Stephanie. She's hilarious.
I love Stephanie Miller. She is mama to all of us, frankly. But we have to start using the term foxpurt.
Say again, please?
Foxpurt.
A foxpurt. Yeah, okay, sure.
And we have to use that, because it's absolutely right, and we have to give kudos to Jim Ward for inventing it.
Absolutely. Well, it's written down now. It's going into the dialogue in the lexicon.
It's got to be done.
All right.
Right, wicked. Well, can you pop me back to Agnes, and I'll let you get on with it.
I certainly will. Andy, you have yourself a wonderful weekend.
I'm getting to you, man. You too.
All right, bye now.
Take care, mate.
And let's see, rolling on, we got Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Sorry to have to call in early, but keep my fingers crossed. We may actually have rain tonight.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They're talking like thunderstorms. I was like, yes, please.
Well, see, now, I just I heard from our – I had email from our good friend over Nashville way, and they got 50-mile-an-hour winds, and they got more wind than they got rain.
Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, as long as it gets it moving, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, how did you enjoy the story I sent you, the one from the Lebanon paper?
That was profound.
Well, I was sitting here watching this evening when I came in, and I was sitting here watching. They kept on crying. Well, I don't want to say crying, but every time you turn around, I mean, if you flip back and forth between the channels, it's like, well, we think Hezbollah fired 85 missiles tonight. And I'm sitting there going, okay, how many rounds did the Israelis fire? Come on, guys. And it's like, no, we ain't going to tell you that. And they're sitting there talking to Tweety Bird is sitting there talking to they got the boy bow tie over in Israel, and they were sitting there showing a picture of one of those artillery units. And I'm sitting there watching for a minute and sitting there watching it fire off five rounds within a minute.
No, they're nothing if not efficient.
Oh, but you're sitting there thinking, well, okay, how many of those do they have up down the line that's doing that on an hourly basis?
Let me opt for that concise mathematical term, a lot.
Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there saying, oh, well, the Hezbollah fired 85 rockets. It's like, yeah? And you all probably fired about 10,000 rounds.
Well, I mean, we heard day before yesterday, 23 tons.
To take out a basement.
46,000 pounds of munitions. See, when I hear things like 23 tons, that's cheap journalism.
Yeah.
Say what it is. It's 46,000 pounds.
To take out one building.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting here watching this thing, and I'm sitting there going, and I don't want this to happen, but I'm sitting here watching this, you know, where they're showing them getting ready to go in on the ground troops, and I'm sitting there going, what would happen right now if the Syrians came over with planes and said, preemptive strike?
Well, that's what...
So you're all coming to invade us, so we're going to hit you first.
Well, see, that's when Newt Gingrich turns out to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, here we are, and we say the preemptive strike is a right of a country to protect itself.
If it feels threatened.
So the Syrians are sitting over there looking at the Israelis' mass at the Lebanese border going, well, that's just one more border, and they're in our country.
Well, the Golan. Well, wait. Don't they? What about the Golan Heights?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, they're sitting there looking at it, going, "We know good and well once they come into Lebanon that Hezbollah is going to just slide over the border or slide up the line." And it's like, well, we have to keep going after them. We can't let them get away.
This,
you know?
No, it doesn't bode well. They're on the.
And we see Condoleezza Sleazy Rice is heading over, and apparently she's going to do nothing.
Oh, she's already said she's going to do nothing. Nothing is what she's very good at.
Well, I'd rather she do nothing, because when she does something, she usually screws up.
Well, unless it's a matter of speaking Russian or playing a piano.
I know. It's like somebody was talking the other day about, you know, said, well, I wonder if she's going to run in 08. I said, yes, please let her run. I just want to see him run up her successes. Let's see that list.
I believe it was a historical document.
Yes, indeedy.
No one could have anticipated the... The hijackers would have used planes as missiles.
I want to know whoever's got it. I don't know if CNN or MSNBC's got it buried, but they've got to have that piece of tape of her at the Milan at G8 2001 when they came out and explained why they were keeping Bush on the boat.
It's out there, sure.
And every time they run that one, I want them to run that one right along with it as the companion piece.
Well, what I'm kind of hoping for is a charity concert by Condi at the piano in Haifa. Oh, God, I'm mean, aren't I, Luke? I'm sorry.
Well, but like you said, we got to keep our eyes on it. I mean, what's going on right now in Iraq? I mean, Iraq's going, you know, the fires are burning higher and higher.
Well, what was the story I saw today? The CIA is really thoroughly pissed right now because John Negroponte, the director of national intelligence, will not let them release a new national intelligence estimate for Iraq. And it's already drafted, it's already written, and it says Iraq is in full-scale civil war now.
Yeah.
And Negroponte won't let it out.
Death Squad John? No, he wouldn't do that, would he?
Well, is he Death Squad John now, or is he Massage Table John?
Well, to me, he's always Death Squad John because everywhere he goes and stays for 6 months, all of a sudden Death Squads pop up. You know, because he went over to Iraq for a while, and right after he left, all of a sudden they started finding people, you know, they'd find 20 at a clip with their hands tied, shot in the back of the head.
Well, the kidnappings of the last couple of weeks, you know, the brazen stuff.
Well, it's one of those things, it's like you just changed the names of where it is, and it's like, gee, isn't this what was going on down in South America 10 years ago?
If this guy was a mafiosi, you'd talk about his M.O.,
We'd have a cute nickname for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like John Blackbridge. Negroponte.
John the Undertaker, you know?
Yeah.
But how did you like the one also, the story about Mr. Robertson?
Oh, I've got that in the stack.
It's like we were talking, have you got the chance to see Mr. Baker yet?
No, see, no. No, the first thing I thought when I read the Robertson story, and I will get to it tonight, was, you know, I try to save all the religious nut job stories for Wednesday, and I would appreciate it if these cretins would cooperate.
Well, I just happened to trip across that one. I wasn't even looking for it, and I saw the title somewhere, and I said, okay, wait a minute, I got to get into this one. This one sounds good.
And, well, I mean, we can go ahead and cheat. Turns out Pat Robertson is trying to use your taxpayer dollars to build a mall.
Mall?
Yeah, oh yeah, a mall.
Down right there in beautiful Virginia.
Yeah, it's gonna the CBN shopping zone or some such. Crass commercialism endorsed by Jesus.
It's of course, you know how that is. You know, it's like say Jesus always goes to Starbucks. You know how it is.
God. No, it doesn't end.
But I mean, it's one of those things. People like him and Dobson and Falwell, you got to keep an eye on them. Because they do all these things that we don't hear about till it blows up, just about.
Well, just like with Katrina.
The website where they stuck the link on. And
yeah, you had to, but you had to be kind of savvy because most people don't think about him being named Marion.
And you have to. Somebody said, I remember when that one happened. It was like they went down like five or six layers before they found something that just said Marion Robinson, and when the guy looking at it just happened to remember that was his name.
Yeah, you had to negotiate four layers into that website before you got to the board of directors and, oh, Jesus, it's Pat.
You know, it's one of those, it's like, say, you know, it's like this thing, though, with Rice. It's like, she's already over. It's like I say, send Colin Powell, send Bill Clinton, send somebody, you know, somebody that they'll at least listen to.
Well, Bill Clinton could go, but he's busy showing up for campaign stops for Joe Lieberman.
I want that one explained to me. There's something going on there.
I don't think you or I have enough brown liquor to get that explained to us.
Well, it's like we ain't eating the right mushrooms. Maybe it would make sense if we had had enough. You know how it is. It's like this is the guy who led the charge, you know, in '98 and '99 for impeachment. He went on the Senate floor. And I mean, that's okay. I mean, he had every right to do that in that respect. But Bill Clinton screwed up. But he just kept beating it like a horse.
God.
You know what I mean? Every time he would go on someplace, there he was running that thing up the flagpole again. It's like, we know it. Quit talking about it, you know, every time. But
we get it already. You disapprove.
But you know what I mean? It's sort of like I was sitting there. We were talking about it earlier in the week. I said, well, let's see. We got two more days, meet the press, time for the red light to go on. Where is Mr. Biden? You know?
He'll be there. He'll be there with bells on.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, guys, we occasionally like to hear from somebody different just for the fun of it. You know what I mean? Why do y'all ever have Henry Waxman on? He's real fun.
Well,
that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Where's Kucinich?
Well, it's like Tom Hartman has him on every week. I would love to see Bernie Sanders on there.
Bernie would be good.
because Bernie is
but
really
maybe
good.
I don't know. Maybe some of this is a problem. Luke, stand by. We got to go to the news. Okay.
Okay.
Hang on. We'll be back. And after the news, could it be that some of these liberals that, or more liberal people that we would like to see on these programs don't show up because they refuse to play in that cesspool anymore? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. In southern Lebanon, the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas is in its 10th day. Along a two-lane highway in northern Israel, a long line of tanks, troops, and other military vehicles have amassed. Israeli defense forces have also dropped leaflets which warn residents of southern Lebanon to leave their homes and move north. Israel's ambassador to Washington says that his country wants to remove Hezbollah's command and control centers and weapons stockpiles from southern Lebanon. The AP reports he said Israel has no desire to reoccupy the region. In northern Israel, Hezbollah militants are continuing to fire rockets into Israeli towns. One such rocket struck Haifa today and wounded 19. Lebanese authorities report that at least 261 people have been killed since the conflict began. At least 34 Israelis have died. In Washington, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with President Bush on Sunday to lay out U.S. plans for a diplomatic solution. They will meet with officials from Saudi Arabia to discuss their proposal. Afterwards, she will travel to the Mideast with details of the U.S. strategy. Following her trip there, on Tuesday, she will take part in an Italian-sponsored international peace conference in Rome. In Beirut, the evacuation of thousands of Americans continues. U.S. officials expect that a total of 8,000 Americans in Lebanon will be evacuated by ship to Cyprus or Turkey by this weekend. In Iraq today, two Shiite neighborhoods were attacked by gunmen who killed at least 18 people. Two worshippers were also killed at mosque today despite an extended daytime curfew. On Capitol Hill, a Senate committee will hold a hearing next week to confirm John Bolton, who's serving as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Last year, President Bush appointed him on an interim basis. In India, the first three arrests were made following last week's train bombings that killed 207 people. Since then, hundreds of people have been detained for questioning. In Afghanistan, NATO is expected to expand its mission to include the entire country. If member countries agree to the expansion, it is expected to happen by the end of the year. In Washington, a House committee is examining the sale of fighter jets to Pakistan following criticism that the deal could expose U.S. technology to China. And in Moscow, the defense minister announced they have reached a $1 billion deal to sell fighter jets and helicopters to Venezuela. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have business news coming up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Dell Computer warned that their second quarter earnings would be 30% less than forecast. Dell blames a slowdown in the computer market. Analysts say tough competition from HP and customer service complaints have hurt Dell recently. Microsoft announced strong demand for its new Windows operating system, Vista. Yesterday, the software company said it would buy back as much as $40 billion of its stock. Microsoft also warned that its PowerPoint software is vulnerable to a new computer virus. In Atlanta, shareholders of Bell South approved the proposed sale of their company for $67 billion in stock to AT&T. The deal would make the nation's largest telecommunications provider even larger. Caterpillar reports a jump in second quarter earnings. The construction equipment maker credits higher prices for $10 billion in sale, the highest in four decades. The FDA has approved a pearl-like pigment that drug companies can use for their prescription pills. It will be used because it makes it harder for counterfeit makers to copy. And Japan will reportedly agree next week to a partial resumption of American beef imports. Before the latest mad cow disease scare, Japan was the most lucrative overseas market for American beef. Light sweet crude settled at $74.52 a barrel today, and near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is down 60 points, the Nasdaq is down 19, the S&P 500 down 9. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, and back we are. 5 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob. Cruising down toward what passes for a weekend around here. Mostly 2 days of Bob walking around moping. Because I'm not on the air. Agnes, you know how it is when I don't have a show to do.
I know, you talk to me.
Yeah, see? Agnes likes Monday through Friday, too, because she gets some relief.
No.
But, of course, don't forget our good friends John Fox and Bruce Birch will be here Saturday evening, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, with their weekly Fourth Estate radio program.
Can't wait.
It's always a blast. Agnes and I sit here producing the program. I did last week, she did the week before, you know, back and forth, whatever. And but we'll sit here together, and we have a blast, and we think that you will, too. Let's go back to the phones. We were talking with Luke. Luke, welcome back.
Hi, Bob. But have you noticed the way now that they're trying to rush this through the U.N., the Bush administration is trying to go through the U.N. so they'll have some cover. But they can't push it too hard because the U.N. would keep – well, if they keep pushing it, the U.N. will go, yeah, and by the way, is Israel ever going to follow all those orders that were – you know, all those
– Yeah, how many are there? I mean –
Oh, God.
There's
Israel,
dozens.
If any other country in the Middle East had done it, we'd be screaming.
No, we'd be bombing.
Yeah. Won't let IAEA in anywhere. In their country, you know what
well,
I
see,
mean.
Well, see, that's
walk in.
Now, see, that's the one that we really haven't touched on that very much, Luke. They won't let the International Atomic Energy Agency in. They won't even admit that they've got them.
Mm-mm.
They've got one guy. Was he released? He was in prison for years because he's the one.
He stole a bunch of stuff from us.
Yeah. Well, no, but he's the one who came out and said we're all nuked up. And they just stuffed him, you know, off to the gulag with you, son. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't like the saber rattling. I want to repeat for those who would be out there and, oh, he's an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. I say a pox on both their houses.
Agreed.
And Mr. Nasrallah, did you see the film Little Nicky?
Yeah.
You know the fate of Hitler in hell?
Uh-huh.
That's what I want for Mr. Nasrallah. I want Mr. Olmert to get porcupines.
Well, every time I think of that, I think of W myself, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? The thing that bugs you the most is, like, say, when you're sitting here watching this stuff on, and they're talking to them, it's like, well, we're talking to the Israeli officials, but we won't talk to too many of the Lebanese officials unless it's on tape. so they can't say anything outright.
Well, this is, yeah, it's also bass-ackwards, Luke. That one newspaper article was so correct. On the one hand, you show you show a house blown up or people being carried away in an ambulance or on a stretcher or something. If it happens in Israel, if it happens in Lebanon, you show this generic stock photo of a crater.
Yeah. Well, what was the one? I think it was in that one. We're talking about the fountain.
Yeah.
Where it got hit, and it's like, oh, by the way, there were 7 children here, and we can't find traces of 3 of them.
Yeah, it's extremely. Just,
you know what I mean? That's something. If it was on the other side, they'd be waving it. Look, they were attacking kids.
Well, they say that they've got a big surprise waiting, and I, you know, what is it? By the way, do you know the saber rattling from Mr. Nasrallah?
Uh huh.
You know, we've got a surprise saved up. You know what that is now?
No.
That's the justification for the Iraq War.
Ah.
Because my witness, I heard it earlier today.
Well, you.
Mr. Nasrallah got weapons of mass destruction from the Syrians because that's where Saddam hid them.
But you've seen every time you turn around now, all they're doing is saying, well, this is, of course, being managed by Syria and Iran. And it's like, okay, how are they doing it? It's like, well, we don't have to show you any evidence. We just know that's what is happening. It's
we
like,
believe.
Yes, like we say, a foreign policy by faith.
Yeah, Tinkerbell foreign policy, if you'll only believe.
I saw a minute ago they were running the promo thing for Wolf's thing on Sunday morning, his show. He's going to have John Bolton on. That's all we need. Are you an ambassador who has anger management problems?
Oh, I saw him referred to as Ambassador Gottmilk.
Oh.
I love that.
What was the one I heard? Was it the walrus?
Well, yeah, that too. I think his mouth looks like a push broom, but, you know.
I hate to say this because I really liked him, but like I say, every time I look at him, I think Bob Keeshan on acid.
Yeah, oh, boy, oh, now that, yeah, there's a reach.
And I really like Bob Keeshan. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just who he reminds me of when I see him.
Yeah, without any of the good traits.
Yeah.
Where's Bunny Rabbit when we need somebody to drop a big box of ping pong balls on John Bolton?
Like I say, the Bizarro World version.
Well, I think we have a legitimate reason, Luke, for fearing that this will all end with a mushroom cloud.
It's just one of those things. Looks to me like these residents just keep on pushing it. It's like we're waiting for somebody to hit us hard, and once they hit us hard, well, that's our excuse.
Well, because they have never admitted having a nuclear weapon, Israel has never told the world, as most every other nuclear country has, that they will not use the weapons as a first strike weapon. Because they won't admit they got them.
I know. And it's one of those things, if they did, you know what would happen is Tehran would disappear in a flash, and they would say, we don't know who did it.
That was the Pakistanis. Must have been the Indians.
We just must have hit. Somebody must have just hit a research lab or something.
Oh, Osama. Yeah. It was Osama with a suitcase nuke.
Yeah.
In the conservatory.
Colonel Mustard. Yes.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. It's pure, unmitigated, unadulterated madness.
We're just sitting over at the sidelines, sitting there twiddling our thumbs and whistling a tune.
No, we're worse. It's the whole cowboy, redneck, stupid, ignorant. Nah, I don't want to beat on the rednecks, but it's the Bushman. Everything's a game. Everything's a fraternity prank. You know, he's sitting on the sidelines singing "Bula Bula." He thinks he's watching a football game.
I tell you what, though, some of the fraternities I know, they throw him out. They go, "Dang, you're too much of an embarrassment even for us."
Yeah,
I'm talking some animal fraternities. You know, it's like we don't mind the fact that you're an animal, but don't do it in public.
That's what the upstairs rooms are for. Exactly.
Yeah.
Luke, thank you so much. You, have yourself a wonderful weekend, okay? Take care. Bye now. All right, let's go to the next line. I'd hate to keep anybody on hold. Oh, David, welcome to the program. Oh, David.
Oh, hello, Bob.
There you are.
Well, the connection was such that I wasn't sure.
Oh, you didn't get to hear the whoosh?
No, I heard the whoosh, but it sounded like you were speaking to somebody else, you know, like kids in the shallow end of the pool. But
well,
now you're much better.
Well, you know, we're on a loner right now till our good phone machine
okay.
gets fixed.
Okay. Well, look, if anybody has any misunderstanding of what to expect out of Israel right now, they just need to read some Old Testament where, you know, God said, I bless you to exterminate the people of Shagaga. And once you deal with the people of Shagaga, I will kill the people of Arachnabop. I mean, that's what's going on right now. They are blessed by God to eradicate 20 to 25 miles of a country.
Thank God. He's a little creepy.
I'm serious.
Oh, I know you are. And the thing is, I'm not nearly as worried about your seriousness as I am about the seriousness of the people who really buy into that stuff. But they do.
They do in Israel. If anybody, you know, zeroing in on the BBC every chance I get, the Israeli public is glorying, reveling, wallowing, bathing in, anointing themselves with, and saying, literally, and I quote, this is the will of God that we do away with Hezbollah. This is our chance to do that, and he has told us to. Israeli public opinion is intensely, overwhelmingly in favor of creating a zone of glass from the Israeli border to 20 miles into Lebanon.
Well, unfortunately... I don't,
just because it displaces 500,000 people.
Well, but what about the prevailing winds? I mean, what if the fallout blows back on Tel Aviv?
So far, it's conventional weapons, but they're going to create a zone of 20 miles because they feel, they know, they understand, and this is what scares me about Bush, because Bush takes whatever the Israelis claim is successful and implements it as his policy. A few months down the road, what they're saying is that, well, if there's Hezbollah and they are an insurgency and they live in houses next to people who don't really do anything at all, or if one of them lives in a block with 150 people who have done nothing, you know, if we need to destroy a few of them to get the one Hezbollah person and we destroy the whole block such that that other 150 people have no place to live for 8 years, things happen.
Yeah, darn the luck.
Life is tough, then you die.
I saw Agnes pointed out to me this just stunning photograph, David, of a couple sitting in their Beirut apartment, and it was glass walls. It was like a penthouse. Glass walls. And just these plumes and columns of smoke rising to eye level in the not too distant distance. Just watch, and the TV's on, and they're just watching their world disintegrate.
Well, if that was a high rise in Beirut, chances are they were watching something 10, maybe 12 miles away, smoke wise, maybe closer, in some cases much closer.
Well, that's the thing. What was on TV was out their window. It was a brilliant photograph.
Well, once the Israelis put troops across that border, they're not going there to stay. They have said, and I actually believe them when they say this, they're not going there to stay. They're going there to make 20 miles of South Lebanon, the southernmost 20 miles of Lebanon, become uninhabitable. And they think that's going to cure the problem. They think that's going to kill this ban.
Isn't that like when you get burglarized and you buy a better lock?
They're not going to eliminate Hezbollah with that routine. That's not going to do it. And it is the greatest case of overreaction I may have ever seen in a paramilitary action. Because here's Hezbollah. They're launching crude rockets. You know, if they kill five people with one of their barrages into Haifa or wherever they do it, you know, this is the it, it's a if they get that many people killed, and I hate it that any five people have to die, but the Israelis will turn around and kill 75 by taking out three blocks of a city.
Well, right now
it's the case of the bear to get rid of a thorn, killing every bee in the forest.
Well,
a stinger to kill every bee in the forest, and that's what's going on.
Well, that's very true, and of course the justification for it that's out there, I've read it. I cruise around on some of these really sleazy right wing sites, and I read things like, shame on Hezbollah for putting a missile battery in an apartment complex. And it just it makes your eyes roll back in your head. What? But that's what you're getting in the way of a rationale. Like I said, they're saying that the big surprise from Mr. Nasrallah, Sheikh Nasrallah, is going to be that he has the secret WMDs that Saddam hid in Syria. I mean, and then boy, they're really going to have it over on all us liberals because see, the weapons of mass destruction were in Syria, and Saddam knew all about it, and he did it with his little hatchet, and he told him to give it to Nasrallah, and
it's another big lie. It's another excuse for martial law sometime in 07. It's another reason for that insane individual Newt Gingrich. I heard him interview today for 40 straight minutes. He doesn't just want to drop the big one. He wants a multiple orgasm, drop the big one. He wants at least six countries turned into parking lots, by Labor Day. And he's going to run for president on that as his plank. Or his, podium of glass.
Yeah, and set up the Israelis as parking lot attendants. This is what does he expect if that happens? What does he expect to be president of?
I'm sorry, what?
If that happens, what does he expect to be president of?
Liberty University, Oklahoma, Ohio, Alabama.
Yeah, but see, it's so the thing about the nuclear genie, the one time that it's been used, nobody else had one. But there's an understanding out there in the world that if one side uses them, it's that old-time religion. If it was good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me.
It's going to unleash who knows what.
India? Pakistan?
Well, I mean,
there's a couple of groups that would love a reason to use a nuke.
Well, under the cover of any nuclear explosion, would India strike first or would Pakistan? Would Russia strike first or would Israel? Would North Korea suddenly, even though we don't think so, suddenly let one fly? Or would, maybe France, just because they want to be a world power again, say, you know what, now that they've started it, let's play a couple of Trump cards.
Well, that's precisely my point. What does Newt Gingrich think he's going to be president of? Because eventually the mushrooms will bloom here. And then there's the persistent old fear that what was talked about in Dr. Strangelove may very well be true. You know, that sort of chain of events doomsday device.
Oh, I remember.
Well, there are some people who believe they still that they actually have that.
Wouldn't doubt it. I lived through Bay of Pigs. I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I didn't realize, I knew we were close, but it was, I was 25, 28, 22, whatever the heck it was when the Cuban Missile Crisis went on. Well, it's close, but, we'll beat them. I was in my 20s and bulletproof, and then I found out just how close we were. But the rationale that was in place 10, 15 years after the Cuban Missile Crisis was once the USSR fell apart, oh, okay, good. We don't have to deal with that anymore. Well, I wasn't sure about that. Now I know we will have to deal with it in some sort of a way, but I never thought it would be the United States itching for a fight. I never thought it would be us begging for the chance to hit the button.
Well, the epigraph that our friend uses at comearmageddon.blogspot.com, which is an awesome blog, says, "How I dearly wish I was not here in the seaside town that they forgot to bomb. Come, 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 nuclear bomb." What does Newt Gingrich want to be president of, David? Does he think George Bush's the super secret Roger Ramjet Star Wars missile defense system is going to protect us?
I really don't know what that man thinks. Today I listened to him speak and speak and speak and speak, and out of 45 minutes of public or out of 45 minutes of radio time, he was talking at least 25 minutes. The host could barely get a word in. The other person, the other two people that were on with him, barely got a word in. And I don't know which would be worse, that he really believes that simultaneous preemptive attacks against North Korea, Iran, and it goes beyond that, should be undertaken immediately, or if he's just doing that to cause America to be so frightened that they'll go, "Well, we've got to elect the Republicans because John Kerry won't defend us, even though John Kerry doesn't matter anymore." The whole thing is so perplexing and so frightening, but I think to save face, if we were in office, no matter if it blows the whole world up, I think Newt would push the button. He convinced me today that to prove that he had the balls, he would push the button. Well, you know, to get elected, I promise.
Dear God. Dear God. I don't, you know, there's an old saying down where you and I sort of come from. Weather like this. Humid, muggy, feels like something's going to happen, and one of the old timers will tug on his overall strap and he'll say, "It's right close out here today."
Boy, let me tell you, it's tight today. Just around the corner. Look at them trees. See them maples? White side showing. There's a hoopy-doo coming, boy.
Uh-huh. Looks like it's coming up a cloud.
You got it.
Well, you know, I'd say it's right close over there right now, David.
It's intensely tight.
And
you know, you walk through air and you're pushing against it. You just know that it's right around the corner.
Well, you've got to stop. You've got to stop and ask what Israel wants with nuclear weapons. Is it a deterrent? Nobody else has nuclear weapons. What are they deterring? Who are they? Those things are there as first strike weapons, David.
Of course they are. I go back to where I started this little rant. It is a biblical Old Testament God and chosen people. And that is their reality. That is their reality right now. It's like that crazy, morbidly obese, pig-eyed, no-neck yo-yo, this Hagee fella, the only country ordained and chartered and
my almighty God.
Israel. Well, you know, they were saying that about themselves in other times, and now the situation has been given to them, literally. A section of land was carved out from other nations, handed to them, and now then, with the, you know, it's the most artificially created country in the history of the world, I believe. Could have never been done without all of the superpowers signing on. They could have never continued without the aid of the United States. They really couldn't continue now without the United States. The United States rushed $200 million worth of jet fuel to them to make sure their plane would not run out of fuel for what they're doing right this minute.
Nope.
Fact.
Absolute fact.
It's
No, I mean, the recent fact. This has been, and this is the part that, you know, from, if you look at a criminal law standpoint, David, you start thinking about conspiracies. This has been, they have known that these rockets were there for a year and or more, and the plans were laid for more than a year to go and take them out, but they needed a trigger. This is two blind men poking each other with sharp sticks.
So the fact that two soldiers were kidnapped is a reason to turn an 80-mile-wide, 100-mile-wide strip of a country that's 20 miles the other way, 100 by 200, 2,000 square miles. You're going to turn in 2,000 square miles of a country into rubble because two soldiers and 30 of your people, two soldiers were kidnapped, and 30 so far, maybe by the end of the day it'll be 50, of your people were killed with crude rockets. So you're going to turn 2,000 square miles of their country into uninhabitable rubble, and cause by the end of the day 600,000 of their people to be homeless and not have a life. And I, as you have said so many times, whether it's Osama bin Laden or whoever runs Hezbollah or whoever runs Hamas, every one of those displaced males, age 15 years and younger, every one of those men forms a body of people that at least one out of four of those young men will say, I want to get back to the people that did this, me and my family. You know, where's that army going to be in 5 years?
God only knows, which probably, well, in, if you get right down to it, means no one knows.
I don't know where they are, but you and I are at the bottom of the hour, and I need to get out of the way.
Well, David, I'm just stymied by all of this. I'm stunned.
I'm intensely disturbed. This one, I more than any other, I'm not sure we, all of us, I'm not sure this one's not going to get so much worse before it gets better that...
I don't know, David. I don't know that there's any better. I don't know if there's a worse before it gets better. I am truly, genuinely concerned. You know, I'm not one of these apocalyptic types that thinks that, you know, this is going to make Jesus fire up the holy rolls and it's all going to get better. No, I don't do that. You mentioned the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is as tight as it's gotten since then. But the thing is, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, you did have a pair of nations, and you had a pair of, pay attention to the word, not you, but leaders who didn't want it to come to that. They were prepared to do it, but they didn't want it to come to that.
And I want to interject one quick one.
Please.
Just to make sure we're all scared to death. We've got George Bush, a militaristic bastard that served in the most disreputable, dishonorable way to his country. And for the first time in the history of the nation of Israel, they are being led by a man that's never been on a battlefield. He has never been on a battlefield. He was a technocrat behind that sheep farmer that had at least fought and known what fresh blood and broken bones look like. The man moving Israel toward this position never served in his own military to speak of, but no combat experience, no frontline experience. This is the first untested, or I should say the first man to lead Israel without military background.
The first unblooded leader that Israel has had.
The first what?
Unblooded. Yeah, it is.
The guy that's never been in the ring.
You know, I think about what went down at the G8 and that line that Bush used. Do you realize right before he used the brown word, he used the word irony? He said,
wow.
See, the irony of this is Syria could just call, the irony of this is Syria should just call Hezbollah and tell him to stop this brown word. Well, see, here's the real irony, David. The President of the United States has the power to pick up the phone and say, hey, Omelet, what are you doing?
Right.
Stop this. He does. He's got that power, and he refuses to lead. And he I don't know. One of these days, going to get me one of them right-wing Bibles, David. And I'm going to see what they translate "blessed are the peacemakers" as.
I wish they were reading. I wish they really were reading the Bible. I wish they weren't listening to their preacher. Good grief!
It's not there.
Like that bumper sticker I love.
Which
Jesus,
one?
Save me from your followers.
Well, yeah, it's like, what's that great quote from Gandhi? I like your Jesus. I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ.
Precisely. All right, Bob.
All right,
I'll do other things for you.
David, thank you so much. Take care and have a great weekend.
Thanks for letting me just assassinate your schedule.
Batten down the hatches.
Oh, no, ours is over. It's just a slow soaking.
Oh, yeah.
Right
it's. Oh, you're so okay. Is it cooling off any?
But if it hits you, you'll know it.
It's aiming right at us.
Yeah, it's going to be weather night for you guys.
Well, hey, at least we've got an internet connection that doesn't go out in the thunder now. Knock wood.
Well, you get some rain afterwards, and believe me, rain is nice.
Good. All right, take care, David, and a wonderful weekend to you.
You too.
See Bye now. It's hard to get away from this story, isn't it? Because I don't trust either side. They both have a win it lose it all costs mentality. If we can't have it, no one can. Unfortunately, the it turns out to be the life of the rest of us. I was joking last night. It may really be time for the Dalai Lama to head for Lebanon. He may be the only hope we have. Kind of hard to expect a worn-out old Nazi ex-artillery gunner to be any help, so, you know, so much for Rome. Time for the Dalai Lama. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
you can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. The largest retirement fund in the U.S. has sold off 1.2 million shares in Coke stocks. KLD Research and Analytics has removed the company off of its list of socially responsible companies. Issues include marketing high-calorie drinks to children, as well as reports of environmental irresponsibility in India, and labor and human rights issues in Colombia. The stock in the fund was worth $52.4 million and was invested by more than 430,000 pension clients. Critics have claimed that the company is responsible for the murder of a union activist in Colombia, as well as other violence against unions in that country.
Workers in America are in a long-term fight for good jobs, pensions, and health care, and the Communications Workers of America has a plan to build worker power called Ready for the Future. CWA spokesperson Candace Johnson.
One of the key elements of Ready for the Future is to build what we call an army of activists, 50,000 strong, people who would be involved from the ground up in mobilizing, in membership education, in every element of the fight for workers' rights. And we think that's very, very important. This army of activists is going to be a key part of that fight.
Combining a robust strategic organizing effort with powerful politics is key for the CWA activist army.
We're looking at expanding our political activities in that same way, an army of political activists who will help elect candidates who support working people. That's something that's so critical because, as we've seen, unless you are able to make advances in the legislature, often you're stymied, as we are with the current labor law.
CWA was one of the founders of Jobs with Justice, and Johnson says as the union gets ready for the future, it will continue building labor community alliances to advance the interests of working families.
A strike by maintenance workers on part of the U.S. section of the Canadian National Railway is being called illegal by the company. Nearly 250 workers represented by the Teamsters walked off the job over seniority rights issues and work contracting. They have also said that CN Railway refuses to bargain in good faith. The two sides have not met at the bargaining table since March, and the Teamsters say the railway refuses to come back. The railway has vowed to take legal action against the union. The strike impacts segments of the rail line in Michigan and northwestern Ohio.
Here's today's economic report. According to the National Center for Children in Poverty, or NCCP, more than 30 million Americans work in jobs that pay poverty-level wages. These low-wage jobs are less likely to have health insurance, paid sick leave, and retirement plans. The NCCP says state policymakers need to pay more attention to the effects of these jobs on families and to formulate policies that help make families economically secure. The NCCP says low family income can impede children's cognitive development. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back. It's about a quarter till. And we're going to go straight back to the phones. David is joining us from Maine. David, welcome to the program. Hope your weekend's starting out nicely.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I guess I'm all right. And I see how this is happening with the Lebanon-Israel situation. I just want to put an analogy to it.
Okay.
If you remember Clive Barker's Hellraiser, the puzzle box, somebody always had the fascination to pick it up, and then the blades would come out. I don't know if you've seen Hellraiser, but...
Well, yeah, and that's reminiscent of Jumanji, too.
Right, except this was a little bit more gothic and graphic. But the blades would come out, and people would bleed, and the blood would hit the floor or whatever, and it would create hell on Earth. And in essence, that is what I think we're beginning to do. But the question is, who's going to pick up that puzzle box? And you know what, Bob? It's not going to be any of these analysts or strategists. It's going to be our kids. It's going to be our young soldiers, our young men. It's going to be the citizens who are there. They're going to feel the wrath of hell on Earth. And just for once, I would seriously like some accountability all around. I would like fees if this war goes to complete hell. I would like jail time, possibly. I would like to see citizen trials for Bill Kristol and a lot of these people, because I think what they're really doing, if we come down to it, there is some serious, if we had some lawyers on our side, I think there's some serious war crimes going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, no doubt. I'd like to see the International Criminal Court empowered to, not necessarily, they can't do anything right now out of the gate, but somehow empowered to investigate this entire thing, starting right now with a stated purpose of charging as war criminals anyone found to have been central to the prosecution of this war. How can you look at what's been done to the Lebanese people and not think that Ehud Olmert is now officially a war criminal? How can you look at what's been done to the Israeli people and not think that officially Sheikh Nasrallah is a war criminal?
Well, you know, Lionel has been doing a great assessment on the war, and he hasn't taken a position. But one of his callers last night brought an excellent point. He said, if you don't think that this was a convenient excuse to invade Lebanon, he goes, I want you to answer me this. He was a Lebanese-American. He said, why did they attack the Lebanese military bases? He said, answer me that. And Lionel couldn't answer it. Nobody could answer it.
Because it's an unanswerable question, the answer that you get is the answer that a lot of people in this country are afraid to give voice to.
And here's what I like to see on the news. When somebody says that they need to evacuate, I have one question to that. Where do you evacuate when you got planes and bombs flying overhead? I don't understand that. Try to walk me through that. I wish the media would try to walk me through that.
David, that's a war crime. When you leaflet a city and say, we are going to indiscriminately bomb your village, if you've got any sense, you'll be out by 6 p.m. and you're only allowed to take one suitcase. I mean, that's what was on the leaflet.
But where do they go? It's like blazing heat, right?
Well, they got in their cars. They got cars. They got in their cars. They got on the road. They were getting out of town, and that's when the Israeli F-16 with the umpty bajillion pound bombs came by and burned up every car on that road. It is called the Massacre of Marwaheen, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, I'm definitely going to bring that one up on the Doyle Show.
Yeah. He won't even be able to say it, let alone tell you what it was.
There's a serious problem with the information, I guess. And
well, the best thing you can do, and I think I've found it at Information Clearinghouse. Maybe it was Information Clearinghouse. Robert Fisk's posts come out from time to time. And they're subscription only, but somebody's got a subscription and they put them up fair use at, I think it's Information Clearinghouse. Go and read Robert Fisk. Robert Fisk is the single best old school reporter in the Middle East. And he lives in Lebanon.
I've read some of his stuff. I'm gonna bring that up next time on the radio show, see what he says about it. But, I'm just wondering. Okay, say the citizens get out, but my question to you and to everybody in the entire world is, where do you go?
You don't.
Do they have tents? I mean, see, this is the problem.
You go to Syria. You go to Syria because you can't. You can't go anywhere else. It's 60 miles from Beirut to Damascus, and you go to Syria where there are already tent cities. And they're going to build more. And so I don't care, and this is the truth. This isn't me out there sort of imagineering or whatever. if you're a doctor, if you are a lawyer, if you're an architect, if you're a scientist, it doesn't matter what you are, what you just became is a refugee. And it doesn't matter how rich you were because you didn't get to take it with you. What you are now is a tent dweller. It is a process. You don't have to kill somebody to destroy them.
So what are the possibilities that Israel gets the trigger finger to attack Syria where the tent cities are?
I think honestly,
are they that crazy?
No, I think Israel is afraid of Syria.
Well, I would be too.
Because Syria has never signed off on a peace deal. Syria has never acknowledged their right to exist. And Syria has manifested a willingness to shoot back.
You know, I forget, there was an article, I think it was on the Huffington Post by this Jewish pundit and commentator, and he made an interesting thing. He said Israel always likes playing the boy with high anxiety type of syndrome. And what he meant was, he said, when something happens bad to them, they get all fidgety. But they're not willing to recognize the corruption and the badness that they've done in that region as well.
Well, the fact of the matter is, in many ways, Israel is like an eagle.
It's like a what?
An eagle.
Oh.
Because an eagle never attacks anything its own size, and it prefers to attack things that are much smaller and more defenseless. Israel won't. You know, it flew over and Israel blew up the reactor at Asirak in Iraq, but it was at a time when Iraq was in no state of being able to retaliate.
This guy brought an interesting observation. He said, when you watch Lebanese news on the Lionel Show, I'm talking about again, when you watch Lebanese news, he says, the thing you have to remember is, he goes, the Lebanese economy was booming. And he stated this quite succinctly. He said, I want people to realize that Israel was threatened by Lebanon's economy and infrastructure. They were threatened that they would somehow be able to once again flourish and be a prosperous city. He said there's so much more than just being afraid in a terrorist attack. And I thought that I never heard anyone say that exactly. And he said that if you watch Lebanon news, you would realize where exactly on the cusp Lebanon was with their economy.
It was taking off. I mean, I've seen photo essays. It had rebounded. It was coming along. You know, Dear Leader got out there last year and said, hey, we'd like to praise the Cedar Revolution. But and the other thing that's worth remembering, of all of the nations inside the so-called Middle East, Lebanon is a place where Christians and Muslims, and I frankly don't give a tinker's damn about what flavor Muslim or what flavor Christian, where Christians and Muslims, David, were getting along. They had finally learned to stop killing each other and try to live in peace. Lebanese culture has always been vibrant, and it was coming back to being that again. Beirut was rebuilt. Beirut, for a long, long time, David, was known as the Paris of the Middle East, literally a city of lights on the Mediterranean coast.
You know, I was listening to Rusty Humphries today.
Yeah.
And this guy is a real piece of work. He thinks just because he talks to a terrorist in Lebanon, that's what that country represents.
Well, but see, that's the right wing spin that's going on right now is that, well, you know, the problem with Lebanon is we just don't know who the terrorists are. It's these guys aren't very creative, David. It's the same thing they've argued in Iraq. Well, you know, the problem in Iraq is that, you know, we could stop this insurgency if we could just figure out who the insurgents were. You know, we're turning a corner.
And I was telling Bruce today something interesting because I called him the show also. I said that it's surprising Rusty was really amped up and really angered that his listeners didn't understand the situation of Israel because they were saying they wanted Israel to show restraint in, like, masses of emails. And he said, I couldn't get it. So I guess, Bob, what we're not realizing is that on the right-wing side, they see that issue too, and they're passionate about it also. So it's kind of a weird.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put too much stock in that, David, because the people who control thought and who control issues on the right wing will have that whipped around in no time flat. There was a time when there were right wingers who said, "Oh, this Iraq thing, I don't know," and that lasted a minute and a half.
Yeah.
These aren't hawks, David. These are vultures or buzzards or they're going to prey on the dead flesh of the innocents.
They're tired of playing wrestling, Bob. They want to play Ultimate Fighting pay-per-view.
They want the steel cage death match.
That's right.
Oh God, it's scary, David. David, thanks so much.
No problem, Bob.
Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
See you Monday.
All right, bye now.
Later.
Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Okay. I was just thumbing through the pages of Berlin Diary by William L. Shira, and I can tell you this. The fans are running very quickly tonight, and I can guarantee you, if they continue to run in this direction, we are facing basically what I consider to be Goethe Dammerung.
Yeah.
I mean, Russia's already made this deal with Venezuela. Huge arms deal. You know, they will probably back the Arabs.
Well, it would only make sense if they did.
Well, all I can say is that it's just a matter of time before attacks
but
weapon is used. And
they're
is crossed.
Yeah, and Jim, the reason I say it would only make sense is Russia is entering a phase of wanting to re-engage in the great game. Whoever we're for, they're going to be against, because it's all proxy fights from here on out again.
Well, it won't be a proxy fight. There won't be anybody around, in my opinion, to judge anybody. There won't be any war crime tribunal, because there won't be anything left.
I fear you're right. I'm not making this up. I'm scared. I don't know that the doomsday device doesn't exist. I don't know what happens when the first strike nuke is, you know, at that point it becomes a party and it's like the 4th of July. Somebody sends up a bottle rocket and everybody else decides to shoot theirs then.
Well, you know, in World War I, the Archduke was assassinated on June 28, 1914, within 6 weeks or less, by August 4th, we were involved in a world war.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
No, and this was our weapons that were, compared to today's, relatively primitive. And I can see the lamps going out one by one, very dim, and then they will be extinguished, and I'm afraid they will not be lit. I don't think ever.
Well, this may be the cockroach's big opportunity, Jim.
Well, I wish I had better news as far as my own opinions, but this isn't any movie by Clive Barker. This is history repeating itself, except on a much grander scale.
Well, this could be stopped. The sad thing is, Jim, this could be stopped.
You know that.
If there was a leader anywhere on planet Earth, this could be stopped.
Well, you know, the man who probably would have a chance to stop this might be Albert Einstein, but he's gone. And he says that our Fourth World War would be fought with sticks and stones. And that's where we're headed.
Well, Einstein may have been wrong, though. There may not be anybody left to fight with the sticks and the stones.
Well, yeah.
It may be strike three for the human race. And like I said, next up, the bugs.
I just wonder what DEFCON we're at right now.
That's an interesting question. I haven't heard that one asked yet. But you know, it is. It's a
that
very interesting
term. Isn't used anymore, but I'll just use it for sake of, you know.
But I mean, there are still
what level of readiness or threat con we're at right now. I'll guarantee you one thing: it's a threat con alpha.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's
all I got to say, buddy.
All right, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. You have a good night.
Seriously.
As good as you can have. Bye now. And let's go back to David real quick. David, you said you had a last thought.
And all apologies for barging in a second time. But,
that's all right. Never apologize.
But Beirut has a special place in my little psyche, because all of my adult life I've been in been involved with history and with business and with some level of commerce. And as a kid in high school, there were two trading business-like cultures that were phenomenal for their ability to do business, survive changes, work their way through anything that happened in the world around them. The Phoenicians, the great sailors of the Mediterranean, and Lord knows who, what other spot, and the Hanseatic League in Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Almost certainly, and some would say established by true modern genetics, the home of the Phoenicians was Beirut. That harbor was the home of the Phoenicians. And in business, casually, around all of the United States.
Creators of the Tyrian purple.
Precisely. And they leveraged that and 1,000 other products into a fabulous lifestyle. So they bought, they sold, they talked, they traded, they commerced, they got along, they negotiated, and that gives perfect background to your statement that if there was a city that tolerated all, it was Beirut. And when the French were involved, their culture prospered there. Buildings, cooking. Suddenly you could get the best croissant in the world was in Beirut, according to the French.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine them admitting that. And yes, they could bounce back. Some of the most endearing and enduring and fabulously creative business people I've ever met trace their origin to Lebanon, to the city of Beirut. So it's no surprise, you know, once the carnage stopped 15 years ago, after 15 plus years of wrecking that city, once it stopped, well, business as usual. Let's get back to doing business and getting along with people and having a nice life and asking our sons and daughters how they did in school today.
Yeah.
And Israel is destroying that culture as we speak.
Well, you know, here's a little reference for you. We have a Lebanese gentleman. How many phrases could we come up with? How many one-liners? Nip it? Nip it in the bud?
Huh.
Remember that?
Oh, of course.
We have a Lebanese gentleman to thank for that entree into our culture, because it was Danny Thomas who gave the world Andy Griffith.
And it was Danny Thomas that gave us St. Jude's Medical Facility in Memphis, Tennessee. And it was Danny Thomas that encouraged a bunch of other people to become production entities. Thank you for your incredible depth of knowledge, for knowing that, because Danny Thomas has been an important person to me as a show business guy, and a man that furthered and took St. Jude to something well beyond what anybody could have expected. He is typical. There are 1,000 Danny Thomases in Beirut. Well, there were 500 of them maybe on the road trying to save his ass right now.
Well, there's a vibrant little Lebanese community in southern West Virginia. My God. What the hell are we doing, David? What the hell are we doing?
We're making a mess of it. Take a break and go to the news. Take a deep breath. Walk around the house a time or two.
Letting go now. Letting
breathe,
go now.
Breathe, Bob. You got to breathe. Remember to breathe.
Yeah, you really can't overestimate it, can you? Thanks, David.
See you later.
Later. News time, everybody. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm breathing. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tapping one small, elegant shoe in time. Oh, the way she plays with them. Smile at one and dance with another. Pretty soon they're forming up a line. And she's laughing, laughing into 1939.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Lebanon, the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas is in its 10th day. Along a two-lane highway in northern Israel, a long line of tanks, troops, and other military vehicles have amassed. Israeli defense forces have also dropped leaflets which warn residents of southern Lebanon to leave their homes and move north. Israel's ambassador to Washington says that his country wants to remove Hezbollah's command and control centers and weapons stockpiles from southern Lebanon. The AP reports he said Israel has no desire to reoccupy the region. In northern Israel, Hezbollah militants are continuing to fire rockets into Israeli towns. One such rocket struck Haifa today and wounded 19. Lebanese authorities report that at least 261 people have been killed since the conflict began. At least 34 Israelis have died. In Washington, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with President Bush on Sunday to lay out U.S. plans for a diplomatic solution. They will meet with officials from Saudi Arabia to discuss their proposal. Afterwards, she will travel to the Mideast with details of the U.S. strategy. Following her trip there, on Tuesday, she will take part in an Italian-sponsored international peace conference in Rome. In Beirut, the evacuation of thousands of Americans continues. U.S. officials expect that a total of 8,000 Americans in Lebanon will be evacuated by ship to Cyprus or Turkey by this weekend. In Iraq today, two Shiite neighborhoods were attacked by gunmen who killed at least 18 people. Two worshippers were also killed at mosques today despite an extended daytime curfew. On Capitol Hill, a Senate committee will hold a hearing next week to confirm John Bolton, who's serving as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Last year, President Bush appointed him on an interim basis. In India, the first three arrests were made following last week's train bombings that killed 207 people. Since then, hundreds of people have been detained for questioning. In Afghanistan, NATO is expected to expand its mission to include the entire country. If member countries agree to the expansion, it is expected to happen by the end of the year. In Washington, a House committee is examining the sale of fighter jets to Pakistan following criticism that the deal could expose U.S. technology to China. And in Moscow, the defense minister announced they have reached a $1 billion deal to sell fighter jets and helicopters to Venezuela. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have business news coming up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Dell Computer warned that their second quarter earnings would be 30% less than forecast. Dell blames a slowdown in the computer market. Analysts say tough competition from HP and customer service complaints have hurt Dell recently. Microsoft announced strong demand for its new Windows operating system, Vista. Yesterday, the software company said it would buy back as much as $40 billion of its stock. Microsoft also warned that its PowerPoint software is vulnerable to a new computer virus. In Atlanta, shareholders of Bell South approved the proposed sale of their company for $67 billion in stock to AT&T. The deal would make the nation's largest telecommunications provider even larger. Caterpillar reports a jump in second quarter earnings. The construction equipment maker credits higher prices for $10 billion in sale, the highest in four decades. The FDA has approved a pearl-like pigment that drug companies can use for their prescription pills. It will be used because it makes it harder for counterfeit makers to copy. And Japan will reportedly agree next week to a partial resumption of American beef imports. Before the latest mad cow disease scare, Japan was the most lucrative overseas market for American beef. Light sweet crude settled at $74.52 a barrel today, and near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is down 60 points, the NASDAQ is down 19, the S&P 500 down 9. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Gramoff.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I've made a monkey out of myself again. I said at the top of the show that I wasn't much inclined to talk about Lebanon, and we did again. But who am I? Who am I to say? No, I will not. You know, it's not open line freaking Friday, okay? This ain't the Flush Phlegm Ball program. This is your program. What you want to talk about, you talk about. We talk about. Because Lebanon is making you ache. Lebanon is making you hurt. Lebanon is making you fear. Because you don't trust anybody associated with that horrific process. So, the lines are open for you to talk about it if you want to. Because you have time in your day, you have time in your schedule to stop what you're doing and contemplate the hell on earth that is being unleashed there. But you know what? Someone else doesn't. No. You might be agonizing over civilian deaths in Lebanon. Your Republican Congress isn't. Want to know what they did today? Yesterday they passed a do whatever you want Israel resolution. Today, well, we're all past that now in the Republican House of Representatives. Today, here's the headline. House narrowly approves trade deal with Oman. The House of Representatives on Thursday, well, that's yesterday, I'm sorry. Oh, this is the same time they were passing the do whatever you want to Israel resolution. The House of Representatives narrowly approved a free trade pact with the Gulf Arab state of Oman. It was a 221-205 vote. It opens a free trade zone with Oman, next-door neighbor of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. You remember them from the Dubai Ports World deal. Well, let's dig up old Calvin Coolidge again.
The business of America is business.
The world might be bleeding, but there's money to be made. There's profit to be had. Never mind the cries and the squeals of the innocent and the maimed and the wounded. There's a buck to be made. And see, it's not like this has to go to the Senate now for approval and we can stop it there. Oh, no. Because the Senate already handled it. The Senate passed it 60-34 last month. Because we need another free trade zone. We need just another piece of the playing field tilted a little bit more uphill against the American worker. Because you understand that's what this does. Oh, we only do $1 billion worth of trade a year with the Omanis? That was 2005. It's a small economic package. But as the AP report notes, no, I'm sorry, Reuters, as the Reuters report notes, this brings the Bush administration closer to its goal of creating an entire free trade zone in the Middle East by 2013. This is where it would be handy for this to be a television show, because I could run you the footage of dear leader walking and holding hands with the king of Saudi Arabia through the bluebells and putting a big wet sloppy on him. Wonder what the Arabic word for Bush is. Because I'm beginning to think this is not an American family. This is some part of the royal house of Ibn Saud, and they've had some creative plastic surgery or something. Mission Impossible stuff, you know, with the rubber mask. And, oh, look, it's... yeah. Most of the Democrats in the House voted against the trade pact. Because, among other things, Oman won't guarantee the right its workers' rights. Because you got to understand, we're making a free trade zone with the Omanis, but who are the workers that we're going to be doing the heavy lifting that's going to create? It's not Omanis. 75% of the Omani workforce comes from elsewhere. Some of it you could consider to be slave labor. This is the Marianas Island deal all over again. Only Tom DeLay didn't get to actually go to the houses of prostitution this time. Oman will open its doors to more U.S. services industry companies in sectors such as banking and telecommunications. Agricultural trade will be almost duty-free from day one. Rah! And completely duty-free within 10 years. Most Democrats were unswayed by a recent Omani royal decree. Oh, that's nice. I just love it when the laws happen by royal decree. Because what the royal decree giveth, the royal decree can taketh away. It was aimed at strengthening worker rights in a country where foreigners comprise 75% of the workforce, like I told you. And they promised they're going to implement other labor reforms by October 31st. Like what? Well, hooray for Representative Ben Cardin, a Maryland Democrat. He said that Oman had failed so far to make the changes on the ground to comply with international labor standards. Oh my, international labor standards. We're not talking about very high standards here, people, and they haven't even done that. Because, see, we've got to deal with Bahrain. But Bahrain had implemented those standards. And Democrats did vote for that free trade deal. Now, I'm not an isolationist. I'm certainly not a xenophobe. I cherish other cultures. It's what makes us eminently human. But did the American worker really need the shiv stuck in his back again? How is this good for America? Now, a New York Democrat, Michael, Michael Michaud, he's from Maine, said, who's to say Al-Qaeda would not set up shop in Oman to gain access to control of our ports? Do you really think terrorists could not take advantage of this provision? And the Republican said, oh, no, that could never happen. Who could imagine that terrorists would use planes as missiles? You know why the Republicans say that? Oh, wait for it. It's just charming. Republicans say that could never happen because the pact has a, quote, essential security provision, and that provision allows the United States to block any deal it believes would jeopardize national security, just like the Dubai Ports World deal. The same thing, the same organization. Look at us. Looks good to us. Sell Miami to the... I'm not reassured. So, while you and I have been concerned with the doings and the goings-on in Lebanon, and taking passing interest in the fact that 3,000 Iraqis died last month in what is now a civil war, while you and I were looking at that in abject horror, there was no horror in the halls of the Republican Congress. There was no horror at all. There was opportunity. A business opportunity. And that business opportunity was to set up a free trade zone with Oman. What do they make in Oman? Whatever they make, they don't make it. Some wage slave does. And I mean wage slave. We are so screwed. The Republicans argued the trade pact would make the world a safer place by increasing ties with a moderate Arab state with a long history of good relations with the United States. You know, we had good relations with Iraq once. Our relations with Iraq were so good that Donald Rumsfeld himself went and shook hands and sat down and broke bread and had a good old high old time with Saddam Hussein. That was back when Rumsfeld was selling him poison gas. Yeah, Saddam, see, he gassed his own people. But he didn't gas his people with his own gas. He did it with the blessing of the United States. Let's take a break. When we come back. Well, it's coming up on 21 minutes after the hour, and we do have a break coming.
There we go. I was doing something else, Bob. Sorry.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support
support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
All right, we're back, 24 minutes after the hour. I can't emphasize enough how important it is. Quick fade. Yeah, I can tell. I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we make that this network be a forum for people to bring anything to the table anytime that they want it. There are, you know, as you know, if you've ever listened on Friday to that gas bag Flemball, you know that he says, "This is the only day of the week when I will allow you to bring your own topics." You bring your own topic anytime you want to, because that's in the nature of liberal talk, in the nature of progressive conversation radio. This is the conversation that this nation must have, and we are willing to start it here. Whether it takes you 5 minutes to get what's on your heart said, or a half an hour to get what's on your heart said, any time that the Head On Radio Network is broadcasting, that opportunity is yours. So I hope you'll I can only hope you'll take it to heart. I get news stories that just make me. I'm so amazed at how plugged in and how tuned in and how attentive we want to be to what's going on around us. Because it's so much contrary to what it is on the other side. It's all slogans and jingos and gay marriage and big rocks and Ten Commandments monuments and all. But on our side, we pay attention. Check out a headline. A headline from the 20th of July in the year 2006, the 21st century in the United States of America. This is from Las Vegas. And it's a headline. You know, it's just one assault after another. Feeding homeless outlawed. No, I'm not kidding. Feeding homeless outlawed.
No, we don't.
If someone looks like he could use a meal, be warned, giving him a sandwich in a Las Vegas park could land you in jail. One of the wealthiest cities in the entire United States, a place where the rich, high-rolling gamblers don't even have to pay to eat because they get their rooms and their meals comped. The rich literally do not pay to eat in Las Vegas. And yet, the Las Vegas City Council has made it illegal to feed the homeless. Because it's the roving soup kitchens have you know, sort of Meals on Wheels, have arisen in Las Vegas to feed the hungry. And one of the some of the gathering points are city parks. And the city fathers have come together and said, well, that's illegal because families can't go to the park now because it's full of those, you know, those people. Shoo. My heavenly days. It's one after another, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Jim is joining us again. Hey, Jim, welcome back. Jim?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I
was just looking at CNN. Larry King has Kofi Annan on right now.
Oh, really?
Mr. Annan says the only two nations who can really perhaps make any effort to turn this thing off are Syria and Iran.
Well, I think that's a little bit unfair, don't you, Jim? There's one other nation that has the...
I think he's just speaking very... the man speaking from his heart.
I know, but the thing is, we have that power, too. George Bush could, if George Bush were a leader, he could pick up the phone and say, you know, Ehud, we're going to turn the money off tomorrow if this doesn't stop.
Well, I'm afraid that time has passed, Bob. I really do. I believe it's gotten out of our hands. Bush lost his initiative to do that a week ago or even 3 or 4 days ago. Now, this is just what I'm seeing right in front of me.
Well, so is Kofi Annan saying, he says that's who's got the power to stop it. Are they going to try to do anything to get them to stop it? Can you?
All he's throwing out are just ideas, and basically the man is wringing his hands. That's basically what he's doing.
Well, you know, it's a time for hand-wringing. It's a time for weeping. But the thing, I don't think Assad is an entirely insane man in Syria. I think he might possibly be reasoned with.
Well, there are even times when Ahmadinejad can be reasonable. I mean, you know, at least on the exterior. And what's in his heart, I don't know. But all I can say is this thing is just nations, are, as I said earlier, and what I said, you know, a few minutes ago, that nations are eventually going to be dragged into this, and there's going to be a polarization, and it's going to develop into a worldwide conflagration, nuclear, unless it's turned off within the next, I would say, probably 96 hours.
Well, it's a sick... Somebody's going to have to step up to the plate, and I don't know who it is.
Well, Kofi Annan has done all he can do. The United Nations, what can they do? I mean, Bush...
Nothing, because we won't let them.
Well, I mean, Bush is going to now take that idiot we sent up there. What's his name?
Bolton.
Yes, the Senate's going to vote in his permanent confirmation as our representative to that august body, since his position formerly was temporary. Now Bush wants to make it permanent. What does that tell you?
Well, that tells me that the policy is going to remain permanent. You know, Bush said 2 days ago that, he said, I think it'll take him another week or so.
He doesn't have that much time. That man doesn't realize how little time we have. As I said before, the sands are running very quickly. I mean, much more quickly than we can realize.
Yeah, but he's disengaged, Jim.
I don't care about his disengagement. I'm talking about us and the reality. I mean, as far as I'm concerned...
No, that's what I'm saying. He's disengaged from reality.
I mean, he's pretty much part of the equation, but, you know, you can't count on him for any reasonable action or reasonable behavior. His past performance has indicated that. If that man were to do something reasonable and correct, I would stand on my head, naked, and right in the middle of the biggest square in the world. But I don't think he is.
No, none of them are. You know, Condi's going to go over, but Condi's not going to say anything. You know, Bush is scared to death of his base. Or actually, no, he's not scared. He agrees with him. He thinks this is a way to make Jesus come back.
This is insanity.
That's it. I think it's just a matter of rote stupidity, Bob. It's just rote stupidity.
I disagree with you, Jim. On this one, you and I are going to have to agree to disagree, because this, I've seen the evidence. This nation right now, is the right-wing, ultra-apocalyptic religion industry people, they are whipped into an absolute frenzy. They think they're going to fly through the roof of their car just any minute now.
Well, I hope you're right there, because if you are, that means it won't happen. Because in Scripture it says, no man knoweth the day or the hour, and no man is going to tempt God to do that.
In Scripture it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Okay,
right.
There's no, these are cafeteria fundamentalists, Jim. They don't fool with that stuff. They know, they think they know, they're convinced they know it's going to happen, and it just needs to get a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse.
Oh my God, is their life that miserable?
Jim, I'm not kidding you.
I'm asking you, are their lives that miserable that they want to end the world?
Well, nothing can compare to getting to fly all the way to heaven. Because the New Jerusalem's going to come, and that's really going to be cool.
Well, I don't want to get into that aspect of this because, I mean, you know,
I understand, Jim. I don't like to get into it either, but if you're going to comprehend what's going on in the world right now, you've got to start by comprehending those people, because they are, A, in charge of the government of the United States, and they are, B, thinking that, man, the other shoe is finally going to drop. Because, see, when they see the mushroom cloud go up, the next thing they expect to see is Jesus in the cloud.
Well, even,
and that's when they start flying.
That's never been my interpretation of Scripture.
It's not mine either.
Because you know, my interpretation of what little I know, and I make no pretense of being a biblical scholar, but I know what I read, and I know what I have read, and I know that man will not decide. It will not be. This is above man's pay grade. But unfortunately, there are some people who are really pressing pretty hard to make some very strange things happen. And what's going to happen could very well be possibly totally non-scriptural, but simply be military. That's it. That's the bottom line.
Well, I agree. It's going to be military. You know, the civilians aren't going to launch the nukes. The civilians aren't going to use the weapons of mass destruction or the gas nor the anthrax. It's going to be military. But I implore you, please, please understand this government is in the thrall of religiously insane individuals, top to bottom.
Well, this is just madness, absolute madness. I mean, it is just absolute lunacy. Just total lunacy. I mean, Bush should turn this thing off a week ago by doing exactly what you just said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He elected not to do so. I mean, Kofi Annan just admitted that the thing was started when the Hezbollah kidnapped those three Israeli soldiers. You know, that very action could be the very removal of a rock that could create a tremendous landslide. But I hope that Israel realized, you know, it can only take one nuclear weapon to take care of Israel. It'll take a lot more than that that Israel doesn't have to take care of the Arab world. And I would hope that reason would prevail. But, you know, as I said before, this isn't a movie by some Hollywood director. I mean,
this is real, live, honest to God, on the ground horror.
This is history repeating itself, and history has, and stupidity, unfortunately, has a habit of getting its way. I mean, this is a Hiroshima. This is a Nagasaki. These things were peanuts compared to what they're playing with now. I really don't think they realize what they're dealing with. I really don't think they realize scope and the nature of exactly what could happen when these things, these carefully laid plans, and these a computer PSYOP operations go into effect.
Well,
I mean, you know, basically having worked with defense all my life and for the portion of my career, I just have an understanding of how these people think, Bob.
Well, who's to say we don't have a non-public mutual defense pact with Israel? They get nuked. What do we have to do? I mean, this was the same kind of nonsense. You mentioned World War I earlier. This is the same kind of nonsense that made that happen. I'm sorry?
If they get nuked, there won't be anybody to have a defense pact with.
No, but there will be somebody for us to nuke. And the same religious zealots will be there, and right-wing radio will be chock-a-block with it, a demand that we retaliate in kind in their name.
Oh, it'll be beyond them. It'll be beyond any type of right-wing religious radio host or whatever like that. I mean, what I think people don't realize is these plans are carefully laid, and once they are set into motion, it's almost impossible to reverse them.
I understand that, and I'm just trying to point out that the religious fanatics are in the military, they're in the civilian government, they're in the executive branch, they're in the Congress, they are in Alito, and they're in the Supreme Court, because Alito and Scalia and Roberts are all Opus Dei freaks. They have infiltrated every part of our government, and they are bent on bringing destruction.
Well, the Vatican isn't for these. The Vatican won't be forced to stop right now. The position of the Vatican is against this.
I understand that.
The Vatican has always been for peace. I mean, Pope John Paul II begged Bush not to go into Iraq. Begged him.
I understand that, but there's a big difference between the Vatican and three Opus Dei monsters on the Supreme Court.
Well, all I can say is I hope the people in Opus Dei will obey what the Vatican says and will follow what the Pope says in this particular case, because I have never heard anything come out of Rome advocating a war. As a matter of fact, there's a possibility of a meeting in Rome trying to solve this question. I don't know. I'm just throwing out to you what I've seen and what I've heard.
I appreciate it. I didn't know Kofi Annan was on Larry King this evening.
He is, and the guy is just basically wringing his hands. What the hell do we do next? I mean, you know, what the frig is going to happen here?
Yeah.
This is. I think the outcome of this situation will be decided within the next 4 days.
Well, I hope it's decided in a non-apocalyptic fashion, Jim. That's all I can say.
And YOC, me too. I hope so too, but I don't know. But like I say, stupidity in the 20th century, as it's going into the 21st century, with the bigger the weapons, the more sophisticated the plan, and the more, you know, foolproof the overkill. It just has a habit of getting its way. I don't know why, but that just seems to be the fate of mankind.
Well, I'm terrified, and I know you feel much of the same sense of.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be here next Friday night. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be here from one day to the next. Life is that transitory and fleeting. I mean, none of us has any type of lease on the next second. However, we have generations to follow, your children, and, you know, other generations that don't need to inherit what would have been a beautiful world that's been turned into a nuclear holocaust and the remains of something like Road Warrior. If they want to talk about a movie, we don't have to talk about Clyde Barker. If anybody's left, it'll be something like, well, Mel Gibson's grade B movies that he made back during the 80s.
But yeah, or maybe on the beach. Or maybe on the beach.
Oh, yeah, on the beach. Essentially on the beach, yeah. Exactly.
Jim, thank you very kindly.
Well, I didn't have anything good to say, so your thanks is more than welcome. But you have nothing to thank me for.
I appreciate it, though, and everyone does. Jim, take care. And Beauregard T. Clampett on the line?
Hello there, Bob. How are you doing there this evening?
I'm not doing so well, Colonel Clampett.
That's General Clampett. We had also a meeting over there at the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and the old boys there that decided that they wanted me to lead them into battle down there in Jackson, Mississippi. But I just wanted to get in on your program this evening because it just...
Well, welcome aboard.
Y'all are talking about the apocalypse here tonight, and I'm an authority on all things apocalyptic, Bob.
The last couple of times we've talked, every time I mentioned the 13th Amendment, you turned into an authority on all things apoplectic.
Bob, we can't talk about that. I'm telling you, it's not something that's on the subject matter. We got to let our boys in Washington deal with that now. You know Trent Lott's working on it, him and that fellow
Senator Sessions?
My namesake, Beauregard Sessions.
That's right.
And let's not forget our little sweet little man, Lindsey Graham.
Oh, he is a sweet little man, isn't he?
But, it really surprises me that y'all really hung up on this Israel thing, because this is a good thing, Bob. It's a good thing, because... If all hell, excuse me, Lord, for saying this word, but if all hell breaks loose, we get to meet our just rewards, Bob.
And how is that?
Because this is Armageddon, Bob. This is Armageddon. It's time to meet our Maker, Bob.
And the blood will run as deep as the fetlocks of a horse.
Well, I just left the deacon's meeting, and we was over there at the First Disciples Church of the Anachronistic Christians, and we was talking there, and one of the things that we had to say was that we decided we was going to take a side in this whole conflict.
Did you really?
Yes, we did.
And which side did you take?
Well, our side, of course, Bob. Our side.
No, the side of good.
That's correct. The side of good, as long as there's no darkness involved.
I understand. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to hear you tell me, General, I wouldn't be surprised to hear you tell me that the right to use a nuclear first strike on the part of Israel was a matter of states' rights. Because they're a state and that's their right.
Well, that's right. Now, you sort of sound like Strom Thurmond, another fine southern gentleman. Now, I wanted to touch on one more topic. You said there's a caller's choice tonight. Isn't that correct?
That's true.
Well, now the other topic I want to touch on with you this evening here is that president of ours. Now he's been gone and went over there to that NAACP convention.
Oh, that couldn't have worked well for you.
Well, no, it didn't, sir, because he kept talking about ownership, and I couldn't help but laugh at the TV screen when he was talking about ownership, because we know all about ownership. Yes, sir, we do, and quite frankly. Fella like him probably could have owned half of them people there.
Oh! Well, you know, at least you can fall back and take a little bit of solace, General, in the fact that all them snowflake babies was whiter than snow.
I've heard about them. I was thinking about raising some of them up over here on the farm, but I don't know what kind of workers they would make.
Well, how could you possibly think such a thing? I mean, after all, you wouldn't work your own, would you?
These days you got to, Bob. It's only you ain't nobody left.
You need
the immigrants. Them Mexicans. They're getting sent back to Mexico.
You need illegal alien snowflakes.
Well,
you know you do, General. I understand. I understand your lumbago's acting up there, but you know you do.
I don't. Bobby does not be tickled. I didn't know there was such a thing. I reckon they might be from Sweden if they was illegal aliens. I always heard them Swedish. They didn't like to work too good unless they had some molasses there. I don't know. But I don't know about that. Bob, I just wanted to get in on your program tonight because I had a burr up my butt about all this, and I had to let you know what you know.
Well, you know, but I do trust that if the Lord does appear in the mushroom cloud, you will be the first to call and tell me about it. But well, then again, you may not because you may done be raptured, brother.
I'll tell you what, Bob, I'll make a deal with you.
All right.
If I do get pulled off the earth, you'll be the first one to call and let them know.
All right.
And I'll call you collect, because I don't know what kind of phone charges that would be, because you know the way they got
Well, I don't even know if you'll have cell service that far up in the heavens when you go to meet him in the sky.
It's a him? sorry, Bob, that was a joke.
I was going to say.
Okay, Mr. Kincaid.
Yeah, Miss Clampett's going to have a talk with you.
Miss Clampett tries to talk to me, but every time she does, she brings a frying pan or, you know, upside the head there. I don't know. I don't hear
it. It all explains so much.
I don't hear too much when it's clanging. You know what I'm saying there, Bob? I understand Miss Kincaid. She likes to corrective action as well, Bob. But
well, I got to tell you, that waffle iron leaves a hell of a mark.
Well, Bob, I do appreciate your time tonight, and I certainly hope all works out. And I'll tell you what, the next time we have a vote there on the Board of Deacons there, the First Disciple Christ of the Anachronistic Christians, we'll definitely let you know what's going on.
Well, I do appreciate it. And, you know, say hi to the boys down at the Clavern for me.
Wait a minute now.
What?
How'd you know about that, Bob?
Oh, I know all kinds of things.
I can't talk about that on the radio, Bob.
That's
a
secret.
Them boys, they call Minutemen now, Bob. They call Minutemen. Now let's get the name right.
All right. Well, tell the Imperial Minuteman I said hello.
I certainly will, Bob.
I do appreciate it.
You have a good evening, sir.
You too. Now.
All right.
Bye now. Our good friend General Beauregard. That's General. He's been promoted, you know. General Beauregard T. Clampett. A fine voice of the old South, if ever there was one. And he's going to a meeting in the skies. Whole glory! Kind of puts a whole new twist on the idea of showing with the glory of the Lord those gamma rays. We can laugh, we can joke, but again, you think that was a joke, don't you? That wasn't a joke, because, like I tried to explain to Jim, the entire executive branch, judicial branch, and a majority of the Congress is dominated by people controlled. It's dominated by people who believe that they're going to fly right through the roof of the car, and they have discussions about do you think our clothing will rapture with us? I'm not kidding.
That's why the naked Mylar balloons.
Right. Set loose a whole bunch of naked Mylar balloons and watch the fundies freak out. You know, filled with helium right out of the car.
Just a thought.
But no, they have those discussions. Will we rapture with our clothing on? Will we actually fly through the sky like it says in Scripture, or will we just go poof and be in the presence of the Lord?
I'm waiting on the spaceship.
Well, I wish they'd get on the spaceship. I hear it takes a plastic bag and a pair of Nikes. Yeah. A little shot of bourbon, a couple of second alls, and you're right there flying along behind the tail of the comet. We joke. No, there's no break left. Okay. We're at the end of the program.
Wow, it went by fast.
But the Lord, Lord, Lord. And, you know, the stuff we didn't get to. Mr. Clampett. What Mr. Clampett would have been. See, I meant to ask him about this. It's only taken 201 years, but another fine old North Carolina tradition has gone the way of all flesh. Yesterday, a state judge struck down the 201-year-old law. That means going back to 1805. 201-year law that banned unmarried people from cohabiting together. And it's gone. What has become of our traditional values? We are in, brothers and sisters, we are in the end times. When the state no longer has the right to pass righteous and upright and godly and moral laws that says that two people can't be cohabitating in sin together, the next thing you know, they'll be striking down the laws that say you can't have it with the dogs and the beasts of the field.
That's
not, dear heart, you think that's me saying that, don't you?
No.
Those were the words of Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania when Texas's sodomy statute was struck down. Well, this means that the next thing to go will be the bestiality laws.
What?
I'm not making this up.
Oh, you gotta be.
Not. The same dude that gropes dead fetuses said that overturning Texas sodomy law will result in people having animal sex on the streets. Now, I fully expect that if this, you know, this, you're going to hear about this. If you listen to your right-wing freak radio, you're going to hear about this. They struck down a 201-year-old godly law that says that people can't live together in sin.
I didn't know.
You know how this thing got into the courts? Well, it was the godless communist American Civil Liberties Union that brought the case. Because, as it turns out, a sheriff's dispatcher named Deborah Hobbs, a 41-year-old, fully functional, thinking for herself, female human being, she lived with her boyfriend, and they didn't get married. And her boss, probably a friend of Beauregard's there in the Clavern, I mean Minutemen, Sheriff Carson Smith of Pender County, North Carolina, that's Neil Wilmington. He told her to get married or get out. Get married, move out, or find another job. When he found out that Ms. Hobbs and her boyfriend had been a-shacking. So I suppose these are perhaps the end times, yea, verily. When God's laws against living in sin and committing fornication and adulteration can be struck down by a liberal activist judge, in this particular case, State Superior Court Judge Benjamin Alford. Why, he said that the government has no business regulating relationships between two consenting adults in the privacy of their own home. Activist judge. Now, see, we're doing this all in fun. They're going to be having a four-square hissy in Wingnut Land by Monday, if it hasn't already started. That's it for tonight. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate you sharing your time with us. It means so very, very much. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my darling wife, Agnes, announced by Brian Reznor. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Our news editor, the News Ninja, our good friend Gene in Oregon, where it is a stifling 108 degrees even as we speak. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn, as well as the archives of some wonderful liberal programs that aren't on the Horn. He's got a fundraiser going on. He could use your help in getting to his goal. Do the right thing. And, of course, every program on the Horn occurs because several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights go to work every day and they build the American dream. And by supporting this network, they're saving the American dream. And of course, always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.